B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
So let's bring in the man who's all about Philly baseball for NBC Sports Philly. His name is Corey Simon. He is on the Comcast Business Hotline. And Corey, how you doing, buddy?
Mike, I'm great, man. It's 60 degrees out, and like you said, baseball's right around the corner. It just certainly feels like the calendar's changing.
60 degrees, so you're not in Florida. You're saying it's 60 degrees here.
Yeah, 60 degrees in Philly. Unfortunately, not in Florida.
Yeah, all right. So I assume, are you headed down there anytime soon, or what's the plan now for all the media?
Still kind of unclear. Typically head down like the first week of March, but in this new world, there's still a lot to figure out, but
yes, all right. So
underway, that's for sure.
Here's the beauty of this whole situation: the Phillies have come back to life. Now we're talking about like at the end of last season, and they're cutting, they're laying off people, and they're doing this, doing that. JT was still in limbo, and all of a sudden, boom. They get the JT, they pay out some money, they looks like fans are going to come back. How did this rebirth happen all of a sudden?
Yeah, the Phillies like got everything accomplished pretty much that fans would have hoped for at the beginning of the offseason. You remember how like negative the messaging and the sentiment was at that point, but being able to retain your top two guys and filling holes that were weaknesses last year in terms of bullpen and starting pitching depth, I don't think you can be mad at what the Phillies did this offseason. One of the issues is that three other teams in the division also improved from a little bit to drastically. So that'll obviously play a role in the 2021 season as well. But right after the hire of Dave Dombrowski, it was like everything changed. It was like everything went from we're going to be diligent and patient, and if this isn't the year, we're not going to spend, to all right, let's win now. And the tide really seemed to turn in the three to five weeks after Dombrowski took over with all those pitching additions and retaining the top two guys. I mean, you remember back to the beginning of the offseason when Andy McPhail sat up there and pretty much said that the Phillies didn't feel it was fair at that point to hire a new president of baseball operations if they weren't going to be able to affect much positive change. Well, then Dave Dombrowski came in and affected a whole lot of positive change.
He must have had the gift of gab with Middleton. That's all I can say, because they went out and they got some. They made an overt move to improve this team. So I know we have to project here because we don't know how this bullpen is going to turn out. We don't even know how the starting pitching, like bottom half, is going to turn out. But if you look at them now, projecting what they have, where do they stand in the National League East to you?
I think they can compete with the Braves and the Mets. I think the Phillies are a bit ahead of the Nationals. The Nationals don't have a whole lot of offense, even after adding a couple guys like Schwarber. The Phillies have, that top three of Nola, Wheeler, Eflin, and then you look at all the possibilities beyond that. Like, they really just need a couple of those guys to show up, to show better than Vince Velasquez in spring training. Talking about Matt Moore, Chase Anderson, we're not talking about a super high bar there. But the bullpen is where you could really see a lot of the change, because now all of a sudden you have difference-making stuff at the back end of the bullpen. You have velocity with Jose Alvarado in that 99-mile-per-hour two-seam fastball, and potentially Sam Coonrod, who has one of the fastest four-seam fastballs in all of baseball. Archie Bradley throws in the mid-90s, although he's not totally reliant on velocity. You have Connor Brogdon, who's returning, who, the end of last season, I'm pretty sure he ended his season with 9 shutout innings, allowing 1 base runner. So the bullpen is going to start off at a better point in terms of stuff, and that should play out over the course of a season in terms of fewer base runners late in games and fewer blown leads. I think the stat that everybody looked to after last season was just the sheer number of games the Phillies led, 49 out of 60 games, most in the National League East. It's ridiculous that you go under 500 leading in that many games. And they look to have addressed it. There are still some questions about the bullpen hierarchy, but it's certainly in a better position than it was a year ago.
I've been screaming about this for 3 years about hard throwers. They never seem to get the message. It's like hard to believe in this day and age that you have to have hard throwers come out of the pen. Do you have any statistics that would indicate like velocity equaling success from the bullpen?
Well, I mean, if you look at like the swing and miss rates of a lot of the top closers, you see that the more of an ability you have to miss bats at the end of the game, the more margin for error you have. There's nothing that I can give you off the top of my head in terms of velocity correlating to success. But to your point, look at who the Phillies had filled out their bullpen with in recent years. Last year, their most expensive bullpen signing was Tommy Hunter, who's, bread and butter is like a 90-mile-per-hour cutter. That's the way they built their bullpen, is around guys who didn't really have much velo. And you looked at every other bullpen in the majors, pretty much in comparison to the Phillies, they had several guys coming out of there throwing 95 plus. The Phillies had like one or two guys for a good period there. But, you know, as the front office has kind of transitioned, they've made more of an emphasis on adding relievers who have actual track records this time around. Like, if you remember a year ago, most of their moves for the bullpen were minor league signings for guys who didn't make the team. That shouldn't be the case this time.
The Mike Missinelli Show. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Here's the one thing that I'm sort of alarmed with, and it's this pronouncement today. I think Girardi said it today, that they may go with Howard in the bullpen, which means like they're handling him too delicately, or they don't believe that he's ready for that slot right now. And I gotta say, like, if it was me, I got to let the kids swim at this point. Are they afraid of Howard?
Well, I think there are a lot of factors that go into it. You know, they probably are not totally confident that Spencer Howard is going to perform better in spring training than Chase Anderson, Matt Moore, Ivan Nova, Vince Velasquez, like all four of them, to outright win the job. He's also had shoulder issues two summers in a row, so you have to be really careful with his workload. And of those candidates, like of Chase Anderson, Matt Moore, Spencer Howard, Ivan Nova, I mean, Spencer Howard does project as a better reliever than the other guys just because of the velocity. And especially given the fact that you want to monitor his innings workload, I don't think it spells anything out long term as that the Phillies see him as a reliever definitively, just because he might open this season in the bullpen. But in a short term, it just might make more sense in terms of, you know, building out the best roster 1 through 26. Like, if Chase Anderson and Matt Moore outperform Howard in spring training, it doesn't really matter that he's the Phillies' top prospect if this is a win now year.
All right, I don't like it, but anyway, listen. I we're talking Corey Simon, NBC Sports Philly. Corey, you're a numbers guy. You're an analytics guy. Tyrone and I were talking about before the show about this interesting concept about analytics and how players are thinking that it kind of drives away fans. Ty, explain exactly what we were talking about to Corey.
Yeah, there are certain players who think that the focus on analytics, not taking it out of the game, the focus on analytics and how baseball pushes the analytics and then media ends up pushing analytics, drives fans away instead of the focus on the star players, the big plays, the three-run home run, the triple, the great defensive play, et cetera. It's about stats, 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 and they think that turns away some fans, especially casuals.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean more than probably anybody else, because I have a lot of fans who say, like, all right, forget about the numbers, forget about the stats, which I just kind of use as evidence, not as a way to, you know, base everything around. But, you know, what I would say is that as this game over the last 15, 20 years has become more about walks, strikeouts, and homers, it's a lot less exciting. Like, I preferred the baseball that I watched when I was growing up, where you had a lot of pesky singles hitters, for example, that kind of broke up that that power mold. And it does create a more boring game because there's less action. That's why I'm curious to see what this deadened ball does. There are reports that the ball has been deadened. Some Phillies pitchers have said they really haven't seen a difference in spring training so far. But if the ball is deadened and it's not flying as far, it could result in guys adjusting their approaches and stop trying to hit all those homers. Everything's cyclical. You know, I feel like in a couple years you're going to see more players whose game is built around hitting singles up the middle and going gap to gap, line drive approach, rather than this home run craze that we're currently in the midst of.
All right. Corey, last question is this. What do you think the percentage chances are that Odubel Herrera is on this team?
Well, on opening day, I'd probably, I don't know, 10 to 20%, somewhere in that range. He would have to just, you know, be absolutely incredible performance-wise in spring training for the Phillies to even think about it. And I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, they have other center field candidates. It's such a delicate situation. It doesn't seem that everybody in the clubhouse is totally on board with accepting him back, though some guys are, some guys aren't. And when you weigh all that out, it just doesn't seem worth it from the Phillies' perspective. You got to remember, too, that the before Odubel Herrera's domestic violence incident, he was also just really bad on the field. You know, for that calendar year before that incident, which is obviously more important than anything else, but, you know, the calendar year leading up to that, he hit .207 with an on-base percentage below .270, so he wasn't enough of a difference maker on the field to begin with.
Yeah, I get it. All right, man. Thank you, and we can't wait for this to pop. Baseball.
Thanks, Mike. My pleasure.
All right, buddy. Take care. Harry's Course Sideman on the Comcast Business Hotline, and the Comcast Business Hotline, just don't bounce back. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.